Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here today, whether you're joining us at our Westside campus or over online. It's good to be back. Last week, Pastor Dave preached because I got to go to my niece's wedding in Bella Vista, Arkansas. And it was a beautiful little chapel, but it's a long ways from Colorado Springs. So really, really good to be back with you today. We're in this new series called Bless. And as we start today, I'm just wondering, is there anybody here today who would consider yourself an expert when it comes to prayer? Anybody here consider yourself, anybody have any prayer experts here today? I don't know if I'd raise my hand, probably wouldn't. In fact, I'd have to admit that even though I've literally been a Christ follower for more than 50 years and a pastor for almost 40 years, it was amazing they let me start when I was about five. I couldn't believe that. I wish I could say that this was an area of expertise for me. But really, I am much more a learner than I would ever expect when it comes to prayer. In fact, there are times I think I kind of feel like I'd like to try what this little girl did when it came to her prayer time before bed. And as her grandfather listened in on this particular evening, this is how this little girl's prayer went. She said, "Dear God, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. In Jesus' name, amen." Well, when her grandfather asked her why she had simply prayed the alphabet, her response was, "Well, Grandpa, I just don't know what words to say, so I just let God put the words together, the letters together for me." And that's a resourceful little girl. I don't know if I would try that or not. But prayer is something, really, I believe that we need to talk about frequently because it seems to be the spiritual rhythm that a lot of Christians find challenging. And I bring it up today because it's actually the topic for this week's focus in our series called Bless. And I think the question that probably many of us would have, since we're talking about bless, would be this: how do I actually become a blessing in the life of my neighbor? How do I do that? What does that look like? How can I intentionally be a blessing? And I got to tell you, this whole idea behind blessing is a challenge today. I got to share, I preach this message with a little bit of fear and trepidation because honestly, I have to kind of get us out of our comfort zones. And you might have come to church to be able to feel more comfortable. And we got to talk about maybe a little bit of uncomfortableness. Because I think a lot of us sitting here have probably said, "Hey, I know my faith has made a difference in my life. I know it could probably help other people. Jesus says, it's good news, so I should probably share it." But you know, whenever I try to present the gospel, it feels a little bit like I'm trying to be a used car salesperson or maybe promoting some kind of, you know, pyramid scheme. And so maybe what I'm hearing from our culture today, that evangelism is wrong. Maybe that's actually true. Maybe I shouldn't even try doing this. Have you ever found yourself thinking along those lines? I know that I have. See, I don't believe that I personally have the gift of evangelism. I've never had one of those experiences where I sit down on an airplane and by the time the plane lands at the destination, that person's, you know, now a Christ follower. I've never had that happen before. But I don't believe that I'm released from my responsibility of joining Jesus on his mission. The mission which has been given to us by Christ is to create Christ followers who create Christ followers. And I got to just share with you what that means is while this church is truly here for you, I got to remind you that it's not for you only. We got to keep in our minds that the church is one of the few institutions that exists primarily for those that are not yet a part of it. We've got a world to be able to reach. And it's interesting, we've actually had some folks decide to leave our church because we're committed to help those who aren't here and don't know Christ have an opportunity to hear about him, even though we're also committed to helping those who are here grow in their faith in Christ. It's really not either or, it's both and. And despite how it might seem in our culture today, what we know is that people really are willing to have some conversations about spiritual matters. And a study was done, and they came up with three qualities that our friends and neighbors say they value in a person with whom they would talk about spiritual matters. And you might guess what the first one is. They're looking for a person who would listen to them without judgment, that would just simply listen to them. And so what our neighbors are often looking for is someone who will lean in and just listen without judgment. They desire to have another person absorb their stories and their questions, not so you can come to a verdict, but so they can process their experiences and their feelings in relationship with others. And the sad news is that 2/3 of those who were surveyed said they didn't feel like they had anyone in their life who would listen to them without judgment. There wasn't anyone in their life who would listen to them without judgment. And I think that kind of reflects the sad reality that Christians are often known more for talking than for listening. And as I reflect on some of my attempts to share the good news, the focus obviously was a lot of times what I had to say. Oftentimes, I just did a majority of the talking. And even though my intentions were good, I often did too much talking, in retrospect, it was because I had predetermined what I thought they needed to hear instead of actually listening to them. But here's some very encouraging news based on research. Listening without judgment is something that all of us here are capable of because it's based on love and grace, something we've all been given by God, we've received from Him. So that was the first one, listening without judgment. The second quality they're looking for is people who allow them to draw their own conclusions. And really, isn't that what we would kind of like ourselves, to make up our own mind? And when I reflect on some of my failed attempts, I believe my heart was in a good place, but my tactics, not so much. See, I felt like I needed people to say yes to Jesus. I mean, good intentions, but a poor tactic. This is where both God and our friends would kind of like us to get out of the way. See, if the gospel is really true, and it is, and if someone is sincerely searching for truth, God will help them make the connect. See, we need to be able to trust God to do His part and to trust those around us to come to similar decisions, just like we were able to do. And our friends want us to love and listen and interact with them, but allow God to draw them in. See, people should never become projects. They're people, and they're looking for someone who will not force them to a conclusion, but trust them to have their own spiritual journey. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus did when He interacted with people. He let them have their own spiritual journey. Then the third trait that they're looking for, a characteristic, is confidence in sharing your own perspective. And that's where sometimes we're not that confident. You see, after you've listened to your friend and given them some space to come to their own conclusions, that's exactly when the people around us will be then ready for us to share our perspective. Do you know, in a study, they found 79%, almost 8 out of 10 unchurched people agreed with the following statement. I don't mind talking to a friend about their faith if they really value it. I don't mind talking to a friend about their faith if they really value it. Many people are willing to talk about spiritual things within a friendship. That's called paying the relational rent. It gives us the opportunity to be able to speak to them. And they are interested in our stories and in our experiences, but they also want to know that our faith is real and genuine, and it comes from a deep conviction. And that's when people will be ready to really give you their attention, and you can share about the differences that the love of God and the life of Jesus have made in your life. But before we dig into these blessed practices, I need to offer a word of caution as we're getting started. And that is that bless is not a checklist. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, got to check them all off. Many well-intentioned people have turned these missional rhythms into a checklist to be checked off one at a time. That's not the idea. The blessed practices are not a checklist, or they're not just another church program that we're doing. Instead, they're just really simple, everyday ways that you can bless the people that are around you. And so here's a warning. Don't treat this like a checklist. Your neighbors, if you do, will probably feel like a project, and you actually could be pushing them away from both you and God. always focus more on the people you're wanting to bless rather than on the practices themselves. And bless, you know, B-L-E-S-S, is just a simple acrostic to help us remember what these five simple practices are. And so B, you know, Dave shared last week, stands with begin with prayer. The Bible tells us that when Jesus started his earthly mission, that that's exactly what he did. He started with prayer. And then over and over again, we see Jesus intentionally retreating to pray, clearly demonstrating that prayer is both how you discover your mission and then how you live out your mission. And so if you're just unsure who God might be calling you to bless or where God's calling you to be a blessing, then start here. Start with prayer. And if you already know on your mind, you know the people that you want to bless, then start praying for those people now. L stands for listen. And that's an area that I always have to work on. And if you look at it, asking questions and then listening was actually central to Jesus' life and teaching. In the gospel, Jesus asked way more questions than he ever answered. He just listened. Of the 183 different questions that Jesus was asked, he only answered a few of those questions. His practice was to then ask a question back and then listen. And true listening can actually be one of the most loving gifts that anyone can give. And then letter E stands for eat. Now, no prayer experts here today. Anybody got eating down? That's why I love eating one. We get to eat together. That's going to be good. And Jesus, I think, must have enjoyed eating over and over. That's what we find him doing while he was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And there literally is something about sharing a meal that helps any relationship move more quickly from acquaintance towards friendship faster than anything else we do. A meal will do that. Letter S stands for serve. Then we need to serve. Jesus was clear about his passion and ministry. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And then he modeled for us that once you pray over and listen to and then eat with someone, there's going to be a good chance that you could discover the best way to actually serve that person. And then we get to the last letter, S, is story. That's when we get to share our story. When you befriend and then you bless people, they'll begin to feel relationally safe and desire to know, hey, what's your story? And that's when you'll have the opportunity to tell them how the love of God and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus has changed you. Well, that brings us to our big idea. You're going to see that in the book if you're reading it. The big idea for today is this: to bless your neighbor, Jesus invites you to begin with prayer. And my guess is you've sometimes thought about prayer, but when we finally muster the courage to talk to someone about our faith, we have a tendency just to jump right in without really praying about it. And I say that because that's true for me. And it's probably why I think I resonate with one of the quotes from the book. And the quote goes like this: I cannot change the world. You cannot change the world. Even prayer alone doesn't change the world. Only God can change the world. However, God uses prayer to change us, and then God uses us to change our world. And the lack of expertise on prayer among us is just a reminder that I think we need to talk more about prayer, teach more about it, and then just practice it and just do it. And so I thought I'd share with you this morning, since I got the opportunity on prayer, to offer some random thoughts on prayer and just kind of put them in that category of random thoughts on prayer. And here'd be the first one. We can make prayer harder than it is. We really can, and we often do. But we also don't seem to want to work all that hard at it either. We kind of want it to be easy. And all too often, I've seen prayer religiositized. Now, you've never heard that word before because I just made it up. Religiositized. And you can imagine what it thinks. To the point that we begin to believe that prayer really is just for an elite few Christ followers or maybe just pastors. When prayer is something that's available to anyone and everyone, and yet, it does require some intentionality and effort. And that's kind of what holds us up. One of the best verses for this, for me, and this in the Bible, is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And this is the NIV 1984 version of that. But I love what it says. It says, the end of all things is near. That's how it feels in our world today, doesn't it? And it says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Have you ever had the experience where you sat down to pray and you tried to concentrate and then there's 100 other thoughts going on in your mind, all the things you have to do? That's what's going on in my mind almost every time. I have to be clear-minded. And then after I've sat there for about 5 or 10 minutes, I want to get up and go somewhere and do something else. That's why I've got to be a little bit self-controlled. And so we'll make prayer harder than it is, but we'll also not want to work at it that much. The second random thought about prayer I would make would be this. Prayer is not about finding the right formula. And I think some of us think, if I could just figure out how to do prayer right, then I would get more prayers answered. It would just be more effective. There's not a right formula. What we need to recognize, it's an expression of a right relationship with God. And one of the reasons we know that is because remember how Jesus taught his disciples to pray? The first line of that prayer, you've probably heard hundreds of times. Our Father in heaven, our Father. Now, I had an awesome father who taught me the love of God. Some of you may not have had a very good earthly father, but I want to remind you, God is a good, good father. He loves you more than you can imagine, and he wants to be in that relationship with you as a father. But remember what he said, Jesus said about our Father? Our Father is in heaven. He is God over the universe. You know what that means? He probably deserves a little bit of respect, a little bit of honor. And he's also in heaven, which, guess what? He probably has a little bit better perspective on this world than we might have. And we need to recognize that when we pray and God doesn't always answer the way we would want him to pray or to answer. The next thing I would just say is that prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. You know, a simple prayer is simply the acknowledgement that we need God. And anytime God is added to the equation, the results become limitless. Another thing I think we should know about prayer is that we should pray ASAP, right? I mean, prayer should be our first response always rather than our last resort. But we don't just need to pray ASAP. We also need to pray ALAIT. Right? Don't you know what that is? ALAIT. That means instead of praying a few times and giving up, we need to pray as long as it takes. Because sometimes we give up a little bit too soon. Jesus taught about persevering in our prayers. And you remember, prayers can be answered in four ways at least. Yes, no, wait, and grow. And no, wait, and grow are as much of an answer to prayer as yes is. But we just need to recognize that. Another and final just random thought on prayer I'd want to share is this. It's a tragedy when prayers go unanswered because they go unasked. The Apostle James made it clear that unasked prayers always go unanswered because he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. So that brings us to a great question. Why begin with prayer? And this morning, I'd like to give you at least three good reasons why we should begin with prayer. And you might imagine we'll start with this one. It's because Jesus modeled it. Jesus modeled prayer. He himself began with prayer. You know, he spent the first 40 days after his baptism fasting and praying in the wilderness. And it's just a good reminder to me that fasting and prayer is a powerful combination when you're seeking something from God. I know a number of years ago, Diane and I made that combination when we decided to fast. We had never really fasted before. We were going to fast for 3 days. And I'm ashamed kind of to admit this, but as a pastor, we hadn't done a good job praying together. I mean, we knew we should, and we just kind of did it intermittently. But I'll tell you what, when we decided we were going to fast and pray, we prayed at breakfast, we prayed at lunch, we prayed at dinner, we prayed at night, we prayed the next breakfast and lunch. We prayed together, and it kind of broke really the chain through that. So it's an amazing thing. But Jesus started with prayer when he was getting ready to choose his disciples in Luke chapter 6. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He actually spent the night praying to God. So Jesus modeled it. Secondly, the early church practiced prayer. When you read through, and I'd encourage you if you haven't, to read through the book of Acts, it provides a history of the early church, and you're going to find prayer deeply woven into the spiritual journeys of those people. Because we see it at the very beginning. It says that while they waited, they prayed. Have you ever tried to imagine how it would have felt as one of the disciples being with Jesus for like 3 years, seeing everything that he could do when he was with you, and then watching him ascend back up into heaven, leaving you alone so he could go be with the Father? Now, remember, he promised that he would be with them, right? But his with them from that point on was going to look very different. He was going to be with them in their praying. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says they went back to Jerusalem, and it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. Well, while they waited, they prayed. And then we find that as the church was launching, they prayed. They were up together praying when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And if you remember, after the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, there were 3,000 brand new Christ followers who now needed to become everyday missionaries. How was that going to happen? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, well, they devoted themselves to prayer. That early church prayed. And when they did, it says, actually, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then we also find that they prayed when things got challenging, when it got a little bit hard, when the heat got turned up. See, it didn't take long for Christ's kingdom to clash with the kingdom of men. And when it did, the church experienced its first persecution. Peter and John were arrested. Then they were brought before the religious leaders. They were told not to teach about Jesus. And then they were literally beaten and then let go. And you might imagine, wow, that would kind of end what was happening. They just went back to the believers that were gathered there. They told them the story. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, notice what it says. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in what? In prayer to God. They said, they didn't panic. They didn't actually, protest. They prayed. And I wish I could have been a part of that prayer service that day. You know why? Because when you read in verse 31, here's what it says. That after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. That's a powerful prayer meeting. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly, which should lead us to the third reason why we began with prayer. And that is because spiritually, folks, we're powerless without it. When we don't pray, we don't have any power. In John chapter 15, Jesus reminded us that while we are the branches, He is the vine, and that means we're dependent on him to bear spiritual fruit. And that's why in John 15, 5, Jesus actually said, hey, apart from me, you're not going to accomplish hardly anything. So those three good reasons, let me give you three very simple steps to incorporate prayer, hopefully for the rest of your life, but at least over these next few weeks. So you can imagine we're going to begin, number one, we're going to encourage you, the first step is just to pray. And pray specific and focused prayers. And so what I want to do is add something to your prayer list. Along with many of the things that you're already praying about, here's what I'd like you to do. Begin to pray for 5 people in your life, 5 minutes a day for 5 weeks. Now, I realize that might feel like it's asking a lot, but 5 minutes for 5 people for 5 weeks. That's what I've chosen to do for 5 people in my neighborhood. And it might be that that's what you'll do. You'll choose to pray for 5 people in your neighborhood. Or it could be for you, I'll pray for 5 people at work. Or it might be 5 people on your intramural team. But pray at least for 5 people for 5 minutes every day. Now, the second step that we're going to look at could actually totally change your prayer experience. And that is to listen for the still, small voice. In other words, we often think of prayer as us just talking to God, but after you've spoken to God, you sometimes need to allow him to communicate with you. But don't expect it to be a big, booming voice. This is God. We sometimes imagine that. That's not oftentimes how God actually communicates with us. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah needed to really hear from God. And so God sent him to Mount Horeb, and he was up in a cave, and he was ready to hear God speak to him. And if you remember, there was a big old earthquake, and it was loud and noisy. God wasn't in the earthquake. And after that, there was this fire, and it kind of ravaged the hillside. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, it says, after the earthquake, came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that's how God spoke. Now, in the book Bless, that we're encouraging you to get, and these are available. There's about 60 more of them in the foyer. We're asking for a $10 donation. If you don't have $10 on you, still pick a book up and then bring it next week or whatever you can afford. But in the book, Dave Ferguson provides a great example of what can happen to us when we listen. And he shares in the book how he spent some time reading and reflecting out of the Bible. And his routine was first just to write the word bless in his journal and then list the people for whom he was praying for the next few minutes. And it just kind of writing their name. Hey, I know their name, but there's something about writing the name that makes a difference. But then when he was done with that, he would draw a straight line across the bottom of the page in the journal. And then he would pause and just listen for God. And that was how he learned to pray every day. And drawing that horizontal line became a ritual that transitioned his mind from talking to God to listening to God. And I got to tell you, when I heard that, I intend to incorporate this practice into my daily time with God. Now, David shares that he often when he listens, nothing comes to his mind. But if someone or something does come to his mind, that's what he does is he writes it down. And that day, this is what came to Dave's mind. Ask Ron how he's doing. Ask Ron how he's doing. That thought just popped into his head. And he hadn't actually thought about Ron in weeks, but he knew Ron was going to be joining him for another meeting later in the day. And so he wrote in his journal, ask John how he's doing. Well, that brings us to the third step, which is to respond to whatever you hear, wherever you're prompted by God. And don't wait, just do it right away, if at all possible. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul had been traveling around. I think he was trying to figure out where God wanted him to go. I'm sure he prayed about it, and God gave him this vision. And I want you to notice it says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave. He didn't say, hey, let's wait for a month or two. I mean, he just immediately followed through, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, about 5 minutes after Dave had written Ron's name in his journal, guess who walked in the room? Ron. He decided to stop by early. And Dave could kind of feel himself smiling. He thinks, wow, that's fast, God. And he got up from his chair and he crossed the room to greet Ron, who immediately asked, hey, you got some time to hang out? And they spent about the next hour actually catching up. And when there was a pause in the conversation, Dave asked him, so Ron, how are you doing? And the pause became a silence. Because Ron looked away and said, oh, not so good. And he went on to explain how he just lost his job. It was not a good transition. And he hadn't confided in anyone other than his wife about how he'd really felt. That conversation may have never taken place if Dave hadn't taken the time first to pray, then to listen, and then to respond. And you know what I know? Because I've seen it happen. Folks, God wants to do this kind of stuff all the time. But we've never paused to listen long enough to hear. And these bless practices are just some simple everyday ways God can use you to love your neighbor. So I want to encourage you to experiment. I mean, just try some of these things. And then I would encourage you to make two commitments, if you would, please. Commitment number one would be this. I'll just use one blessed practice every day. This week, I'd encourage you to begin with prayer. That'll just be easy to remember. But just use one blessed practice every day. And then the second question would be this, or commitment. Ask your small group to ask you, hey, who did you bless this week? So you have some accountability and also somebody with whom to share. Now, if you're not in one of our connect groups, a lot of them are just getting started and they're using the blessed material. And so you think you can still get involved if you want. Contact Pastor Dave. He'd love to get you connected. But I'll just close with this. If you're willing to make this commitment, you just got to remember, you would do well to commence with prayer, to continue with prayer, and then conclude with prayer. And that's what we're going to do, conclude with prayer. Okay? Father, I think a burden that is on so many hearts of your followers is this understanding of this amazing gift that you've given to us, the gift of grace and forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's what everybody in this world needs. So many don't know or don't understand or haven't heard. And here we are, Father, the people you've left behind to be salt and to be light. God, thank you for giving us just some simple steps this week. Thank you for the reminder that we've got to start with prayer. Because this isn't our mission, it's actually your mission. And we're going to join you and Jesus on this mission. And as we pray for five people, and as we listen for the leading of your Spirit, God, I pray that you do some amazing things through us and for us. And I ask and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.